Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's do a little bit of housekeeping first before I forget again. If you weren't aware, which I'm sure you are because you're listening to this after not listening to an episode last week, we have decided to change our release schedule by 50%, basically. Yes. So we're going to do every other Friday for Fearsome Fridays and then just the first of the month for bonus episodes.
Yes.
So, I mean, life just got a little busy.
Life is lifing right now.
Life is lifing. And it just got to a point where, like, the only time we would hang out was to record.
Yeah.
And then we would record for, like, 4 hours straight. And then, like, we were still not able to keep up.
Yeah.
And it was very stressful for me.
Yeah.
And then, like, I wouldn't, like, edit the episodes till, like, the night before or completely forget about them. And it was just, like, I thought it would be easier the older she was getting. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, had the reverse effect because she's more mobile now.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, I can just let this baby sleep all fucking day. It's like, oh, I have to, like, entertain her and make sure she you know what she did literally yesterday?
What?
She tried to eat a spider.
Really?
And a live spider.
Oh my god.
So I caught her with an alive spider in her fist.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. I would just have to let her do it. I'm not touching that.
I was eating something, right? And she was in the kitchen and I was like finished eating, so I went into the kitchen to, like, put my dishes up.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a fork in my hand and I was like, ew, what's in your hand? And I, like, opened it up and there was just, like, a little spider in her hand. Oh, so I took my fork and I, like, scraped it out of her fist and then stabbed it.
That is so gross.
Yep.
Spider eating.
Yep. She's also tried to eat some of the Miller moths.
Oh my god.
She, like, literally the tiniest little thing on the floor, like a little piece of, I don't know, cat litter, like that small.
Uh-huh.
She'll pick it up and put it in her mouth.
Babies are so weird.
Yeah. And I'm like, I keep a pretty relatively clean house, but, like, mm-hmm. I would literally have to vacuum, like, 3 times a day and I don't. So, like, there's shit on the floor and she finds it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Babies.
Yep.
They'll find anything,
I guess. Yeah. She's really into... she's just really into things.
Yeah.
Like exploring. So
how'd she catch a spider? Wouldn't that run from her?
I don't know. And I looked up what kind of spider it was.
Uh-huh.
Cause I was like, fuck, did she, you know, get bitten? Is she gonna die? Do I need to go to the hospital?
Uh-huh.
And it was a zebra jumping spider.
Oh, I hate
not poisonous. But yeah, it's a jumping spider.
Gross.
How the fuck did she catch a jumping spider?
She's talented.
Like, holy, she's not like she's fast.
Yeah.
She's like kind of like a sloth. She
snatched it out of the air.
She's Jackie Chan with the chopsticks. Whenever I'm not looking. Oh, that'd be fucking crazy.
That'd be great.
Anyway, so happy Fearsome Fridays, everybody. We are Unholy Gossip Girls. I'm KC.
I'm Faye.
And what are you drinking?
I'm drinking water.
Nice.
What are you drinking?
Water.
Water Gals.
As well. As well.
We should change our podcast name to Water Gals.
Did you almost say pasta?
I just couldn't pronounce it. Pasta.
We should change it to just pasta.
Pasta. Hey guys, listen to pasta every other Friday.
What if instead we eat pasta while we're trying to record?
I would like that. The listener would not.
No. So instead of saying, what are you drinking? We can say, what are you eating? And it's just
same
like
time, it's always pasta.
Pasta or like soup or something. Like the loudest foods.
Alphabetties.
What?
It's like alphabet soup.
Oh, is that what they're called?
A watermelon. A grapefruit.
Oh, watermelon.
Loud foods.
Yeah. Ooh. We should do it.
We should.
All of our 12 listeners will just drop. But at least we'd get to eat.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Well, do you have any hot goss?
No,
I haven't seen you in like weeks. You don't have nothing?
I have some stuff, but stuff I'd rather tell you afterwards.
That's fair. That's fair. I like your dress.
Thank you. I had to sew this closed because there's like a button here and it used to open to like here.
Oh.
And the button would come undone and it was inappropriate.
And then you were just like full,
yeah,
full boob out.
Yeah, yeah. So I sewed right here.
Yeah. That's really low cut. Wow.
Yeah.
Why would they, is that, it just reminds me of like breastfeeding clothing.
Maybe it is.
Just like the easiest clothing to like whip out,
yeah,
either boob at any point during the day.
Yeah. I like your shirt.
Thanks. It's our shirt.
It is.
Speaking of merch, we have merch.
Buy our merch.
That I have not uploaded anything new in probably 2 years.
I have Photoshop now. I can make us some cool things.
Yeah, go for it. I can give you the login.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, because it's pretty easy to design stuff. And I'm always like, that'd be a cool idea. And then I never do anything. I'm fucking busy. But I don't want to jinx it by saying it out loud, so I'll wait until it's for sure. But mm-hmm. Let's just send me some good vibes.
I'm sending them real hard.
Thanks. Let's do
good vibes.
Good vibes. All right. Let's get started. I have something fun for this week.
All right.
I'm going to tell you about a bridge.
Okay.
You've been on a bridge before, right?
I've been on a few bridges.
just a few.
I've been on my fair share of bridges.
Good for you. All right. We're going to be talking specifically about the 1940 Tacoma Narrows Bridge.
I almost did this.
Is it? Okay. Did you look it up already?
No.
Okay.
Well, I clicked on it and then I was like, I want to do something else. So I clicked something else. I was like clicking different ideas.
Yeah.
So glad I didn't.
Yeah. That would have been hilarious. We could
just tell the story together.
Yeah. Like, and then what happened? You tell the next paragraph. All right. So it was a suspension bridge in the U.S. state of Washington that spanned the Tacoma Narrows Strait of Puget Sound between Tacoma and the Kitsap Peninsula.
Ooh.
Proposals for the bridge between Tacoma and the Kitsap Peninsula began in the mid-1920s. The Tacoma Chamber of Commerce began campaigning and funding studies in 1923. Several noted bridge engineers were consulted, including the Joseph B. Strauss.
Him?
Who went on to chief engineer the Golden Gate Bridge.
Ooh.
And David B. Steinman, later the designer of the Mackinac Bridge, which I've never heard of.
Me either. He's less cool.
The only bridge I think I've ever heard of is the Golden Gate Bridge, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know any other ones.
London Bridge. It fell down, though, huh? I don't know any bridges either.
Oh, my God. So, from the start, financing of the bridge was a problem. Revenue from the proposed tolls would not be enough to cover the construction costs. Another expense was buying out the ferry contract from a private firm running services on the Narrows at the time. Nonetheless, there was strong support for the bridge from the United States Navy and Army.
Working together.
Yep. Washington State Engineer Clark Eldridge produced a preliminary tried-and-true conventional suspension bridge design, and the Washington State Toll Bridge Authority requested $11 million, equivalent to $196 million
wow.
today, from the Federal Public Works Administration, or PWA. Preliminary construction plans by the Washington Department of Highways had called for a set of 25-foot deep trusses to sit beneath the roadway to stiffen it, to like go from the bridge all the way down into the water, 25 feet. However, Eastern Consulting Engineers petitioned the PWA and the Reconstruction Finance Corporation to build the bridge for less money.
That's never a good idea.
No. An engineer, Frederick Leinhardt, had published a paper that was probably the most important theoretical, not reticle, I don't know, just theories, anyway, theoretical advance in the bridge engineering field of the decade. The theory was, so their theory of elastic distribution extended the deflection theory to horizontal bending under static wind load. So this story had like a lot of math.
Oh, gross.
And I did not put any of that in.
Thank you.
Because like, this isn't that podcast.
Yeah.
But basically, I think it was talking about instead of having like the trusses, they were like, if you make it like have so like the wind can go through it easily, you don't gotta worry about it.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
So they showed that the stiffness of the main cables via the suspenders would absorb up to one half of the static wind pressure pushing a suspended structure laterally. This energy would then be transmitted to the anchorages and towers. Using this theory, Moisif argued for stiffening the bridge with a set of 8-foot deep plate girders rather than the 25-foot deep trusses. So 8 feet something instead of 25 feet. So less material, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
This approach meant a slimmer, more elegant design.
Oh.
And reduced construction costs.
Of course.
So like, she thin though. Like,
look how pretty she is.
And she costs like less millions.
We gotta get her.
Yeah, let's do that. So, Moisef's design won out, inasmuch as the other proposal was considered to be too expensive. On June 23rd, 1938, June 23rd, oh, that'll be like in a couple weeks from now. Woo, happy bridge day.
Happy bridge day.
The PWA approved nearly $6 million, equivalent to $115.5 million today, for the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Another $1.6 million was to be collected from tolls to cover the estimated total cost of $8 million.
Okay.
For, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think they said what was it originally? $11 million. So the original construction was going to be 11 and they settled on 8. That is okay. A huge difference.
I don't think you should settle in things like this.
All right. Following Moisef's design, bridge construction began on September 27th, 1938. Construction took only 19 months.
Okay.
And cost them a little bit more than they projected by $0.4 million.
Okay.
And it was financed by a grant from the PWA and a loan from the RFC. Sorry. Yeah, I said that right. All right. The Tacoma Narrows Bridge, with a main span of 2,800 feet, was the third longest suspension bridge in the world at the time, following the George Washington Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge.
Previously name dropped.
Because planners expected fairly light traffic volumes, the bridge was designed with only 2 lanes, and it was only 39 feet wide.
Oh, wow.
This was quite narrow, especially in comparison with its length, with only the 8-foot deep plate girders providing additional depth. The bridge's roadway section was also shallow.
Is that why they called it the Narrows Bridge, because it was narrow, or is that unrelated?
I don't know. Maybe it was narrow.
Yeah,
she thin though. With such minimal girders, The deck of the bridge was insufficiently rigid and was easily moved about by the winds from the very start.
Uh-oh.
The bridge became infamous for its movement. A mild to moderate wind could cause alternate halves of the center span to visibly rise and fall several feet.
Oh my God.
Within 5 second intervals. So quickly. Oh my God.
Roller coaster.
Yes. This flexibility was experienced by the builders and the workmen during construction, which led some of the workers to christen the bridge Galloping Gertie.
Aww. Galloping Gertie.
I want to have that be the title of this episode. Isn't it ridiculous?
That's scary.
And I'm going to show you a video once we're done.
Uh-huh.
And the video is terrifying. Oh, like, God. Why would anyone even, like,
cross that bridge?
I can't even imagine walking on it, more or less driving a car.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. All right, Galloping Gertie. The nickname soon stuck, and even the public felt these motions on the day that the bridge opened on July 1st, 1940. All right, so they did have some attempts to control the, quote, structural vibration. Since the structure experienced considerable vertical oscillations while it was still under construction, several strategies were used to reduce the motion of the bridge. They included an attachment of tie-down cables to the plate girders, which were anchored to 50-ton concrete blocks on the shores. This measure proved ineffective as the cables snapped.
That's a good sign.
Mm-hmm. The second one is addition of a pair of inclined cable stays that connected the main cables to the bridge deck at mid-span. So they just added more cables. Mm. And finally, the structure was equipped with hydraulic buffers installed between the towers and the floor system of the deck to damp longitudinal motion of the main span. The effectiveness of the hydraulic dampers was nulled, however, because the seals of the units were damaged when the bridge was sandblasted before being painted.
Okay.
Because that's important.
Very important.
The Washington State Toll Bridge Authority hired Professor Frederick Bert Farquharson.
Ooh.
What was that guy's name in Shrek?
Farquaad. It's his brother.
Yeah. An engineering professor at the University of Washington to make wind tunnel tests and recommend solutions to reduce the oscillations of the bridge. Professor Farquharson and his students built scale models. And the studies concluded on November 2nd, 1940. November 2nd.
Okay.
Remember that date. He proposed two solutions: to drill holes in the lateral girders and along the deck so that the airflow could circulate, reducing the lift forces. That mm-hmm. makes sense. And to give a more aerodynamic shape to the transverse section of the deck by adding fairings or deflector vanes along the deck. So the first option was not favored because of its irreversible nature. Because you would have to drill holes.
Why would you want to reverse that, though?
Just in case it didn't work, I guess. And the second option was the chosen one, but it was not carried out because of the disaster just 5 days later.
No.
So, let's talk about November 7th.
Okay.
All right. Leonard Coatsworth. Such a cool name.
Everyone has cool names in this story.
An editor at the News Tribune in Tacoma was the last person to drive on the bridge.
Uh-oh.
And we have a quote from him. Quote, "Around me, I could hear concrete cracking. I started back to the car to get the dog," because he left his car like in the middle of the bridge. I don't know why he got out.
That's stupid.
I don't know why he didn't
drive off.
Drive off, yeah. but he was thrown before he could reach it. The car itself began to slide from side to side on the roadway.
Oh, no.
I decided the bridge was breaking, and my only hope was to get back to shore. On hands and knees most of the time, I crawled 500 yards, which is about 1,500 feet, or more to the towers. My breath was coming in gasps. My knees were raw and bleeding, my hands bruised and swollen from gripping the concrete curb. Towards the last, I risked rising to my feet and running the few yards, at a time. Safely back at the toll plaza, I saw the bridge in its final collapse and saw my car plunge into the narrows.
His dog. Aww.
End quote.
I know Fuji
did
is messed
not
up.
Like that. Fuji, oh.
Should have saved the dog, huh?
He did not like that. All right. Fuji, it's okay. Tubby, Cocker Spaniel, was the only fatality of the Tacoma Narrows Bridge disaster. He was lost along with the car. Professor Farquharson's and a news photographer attempted to rescue Tubby during a lull, but the dog was too terrified to leave the car and even bit one of the rescuers.
So what? Scoop him out of there.
Tubby died when the bridge fell, and neither his body nor the car was ever recovered.
I'm choosing to believe he didn't die, and he just, like, moved to Mexico and has a new life.
I like that. Here's the fucked up part. So Coatsworth received $450 for his car, which is equivalent to $8,700 today, and $364.40, which is equal to $7,000, in reimbursement for the quote contents of his car, which includes the dog.
Oh,
$7,000.
Dogs are priceless.
Yeah. All right. So the fate of the collapsed superstructure. So if you look up this story on the internet or Wikipedia, there's like a huge section that I did not include in this, and that's where I skipped it. It was talking about like exactly what happened, and why it happened, and how it happened, and how they could have bought it up. And it was like a fuck ton of math that I didn't really care to even read.
Yeah. So, don't blame you.
So some shit. I mean, we got it. Bridge was up. Now it's not. All right. Efforts to salvage the bridge began almost immediately after its collapse and continued into May 1943. Two review boards concluded that repair of the bridge was impossible and the entire bridge would have to be dismantled and an entirely new bridge superstructure would be built in its place. With steel being a valuable commodity because of the war. Steel from the bridge cables and suspension span was sold as scrap metal to be melted down. The salvage operation cost the state more than what was returned from the with a net loss of $350,000, which is equivalent in 5.5, which is how much they could have spent extra on a bridge that didn't collapse in the first place.
Dummies.
They just think that's hilarious. The cable anchors, tower pedestals, and most of the remaining substructure were relatively undamaged and were reused during construction of the replacement that opened in 1950. The towers suffered major damage at their bases and were dismantled and the steel sent to recyclers. Because of the shortage of materials and labor as a result of the war, it took 10 years before a replacement bridge was open for traffic. This replacement bridge was opened on October 14th, 1950, and is 5,979 feet long, which is 40 feet longer than the original bridge. The replacement bridge also has more lanes, and it has shoulder lanes on both sides, so it's just wider. Okay. It's a bigger bridge.
She's thick.
So half a century later, the replacement bridge exceeded its traffic capacity, and they added a second basically a second bridge next to it, and then they split it off for like, you're coming this way, you're going that way.
Okay.
So they like doubled it.
How cool.
And that opened in July of 2007. So my source is Wikipedia, and I have some photos for you. So here is the bridge whenever mm-hmm. it opened. She cute.
She cute.
Skinny that legend. That is
very thin.
Here, skinny legend is on the...
Oh, no.
In the river.
She's going for a swim.
And then I'm going to... How should we do this? I guess we could take a super fast break, mm-hmm. and I'm going to show you the video of it falling apart.
Okay.
And then we'll come back for your reaction.
Okay.
All right. BRB.
BRB.
And we're back.
Hello.
So we watched a 2 minute and 29 second video that it's also on Wikipedia, but I'm sure if you Google it, you can find it. So there was a few different videos of the actual bridge collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they kind of spliced the videos together because they're definitely from different viewpoints.
Uh-huh.
Because there was like a camera store on nearby. So they just like happened to be like, oh shit, that's fucking crazy. Let's go take a video.
Gotta go see that.
So what do you think?
It was crazy. It was very wild. So it started just showing like the bridge just like doing a cool dance. Just like wobbling. But like when you were telling the story, I was like, how scary, at any moment driving over a bridge it could collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But that one gave plenty of warning signs.
It was like pretty fucking obvious. Yeah. There was some problems there. Yeah.
I wouldn't have drove on that bridge.
Yeah, it's hard to envision it because like for me to say, oh, it wobbled like several feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to think about.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so unrealistic.
It's like I can't describe it.
Yeah, but then to like see it, it looks not real.
It does. Like, it looks the like
first
a toy.
Yeah, the first time I watched it, which was earlier today, I was like, oh, so they're saying this is what it could look like.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's no way this footage is real footage. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's like, too much.
How could anyone see that happening at all and be like, I'm going to drive my car on that.
Safe to drive my dog across.
Like, how do you not get yeeted off the really? Side?
Imagine walking on that, thrown into the street.
Yeah. So, there's that.
Yeah.
So, I definitely recommend going on the internet and watching that video. I don't think there's a way I can post it on our Instagram without, like, violating a bunch of shit. So, like, just do it yourself.
Is it on Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Go to Wikipedia.
Yep. Go to Wikipedia and donate some money while you're there.
Yeah. I don't, but you can.
Facts. All right. Well, like I said at the top of the show, we're doing every other Friday, so we will not see you again until June 23rd, which is my baby's 10-month birthday.
Oh.
So I'll be busy taking pictures. It's like getting harder and harder to take her picture, period.
Mm-hmm.
But for her like milestone pictures,
oh yeah,
I set her down and then she's like immediately like in a different room.
Oh. Just like, she's got things to do.
Yeah, it's so hard to get her picture. And it, like, she wears so many cute outfits and I'm always like, I set her down and then she's like crawling. So I'm like, I don't want a picture of your butt. Like, I want to see your pretty dress.
Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever, baby. All right. Anything else?
No.
R.I.P. dog. We hope you had a great life in Mexico.
Yeah. He's with Tupac. He's still alive, by the way.
I'm glad Tupac has a buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww.
What was the dog's name?
Oh, God. Tubby?
Tubby.
Tubby and Tupac.
Tubby and Tupac. I'm going to write a children's book.
You should. Oh, that'd be really cute. Oh, all right. Well, that's that on that. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Goodbye.
Bye.